Thank you. Thank you. So I pray that today's message will be an encouragement to all of us, especially those of us who are facing difficulties in life at this moment as we're speaking. So with that in mind, let's read Genesis chapter 40, verses 1 to 9. Can we all stand? Let's read the Word of God together. Okay, verse 1. Sometime later, the cupbearer and the baker of the king of Egypt, their king of and the chief baker, and put them in custody in the house of the captain of the guard, in the same prison where Joseph was confined. The captain of the guard assigned them to Joseph, and he attended them. After they had been in custody for some time, each of the two men, the cupbearer and the baker of the king of Egypt, who were being held in prison, had a dream the same night, and each dream had a meaning of its own. When Joseph came to them the next morning, he saw that they were dejected. So he asked Pharaoh's officials who were in custody with him in his master's house, "Why do you look so sad today?" We both answered, "But there is no to interpret them." Then Joseph said to them, "Do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me your dreams." So the chief dream. Blessed reading of this word, you may be seated. You are not abandoned. Let's look at number one. You are more. You are more. So I want to summarize Joseph's circumstances with three words. First is he was rejected. He was rejected. Joseph came from a dysfunctional family. He was hated by his siblings. And this is what they did. Genesis 39. Here's a review. Okay. So here comes the dreamer, they said to each other. "Come now, let's kill him, throw him in one of these cisterns, and say that a ferocious animal devoured him, then we'll see what comes of his dreams." Right? You know the story. And then they thought, wait, maybe we could get some money out of this guy, right? So they sold him as a slave for 20 pieces of silver to some foreign country. Now that's real brotherly love there, right? So that's Joseph's childhood. Now those of us who come from a dysfunctional family, broken family, those of us who feel unaccepted, who have been rejected, right? You can relate to Joseph, what we're going to talk about today. Second thing, he was slandered. He was falsely accused. So after he was sold into Egypt as a slave, he began to work really hard at his master. I don't think this works. Okay. So he worked at his master Potiphar's household, and everything was going great until trouble came. Egypt's most desperate housewife, right? Mrs. Potiphar, right? So day after day, she tried to seduce him. So one day, he went into the house to attend to his duties, and none of the household servants was there. So this is what it says. She caught him by his cloak and said, "Come to bed with me." But he left his clothes in her hand and ran out of the house. So because of what happened, he was accused of rape. Joseph was thrown in prison for life, for something that he did not do. He was falsely accused. So for those of us who has ever suffered injustice, those of us who have ever been misunderstood, His character has been damaged due to slander, gossip. Yeah, many of us, yeah. Well, we can relate to Joseph's story today. Number three, he was forgotten. He was forgotten. So when he was in prison, he befriended two people, the cupbearer, the baker, which was what we read today, and he helped them with his godly wisdom and insights. After that, he asked them to do him a big favor. Joseph said, "When all goes well with you, remember me, show me kindness, mention me to Pharaoh, and get me out of this prison. I was forcibly carried off from the land of the Hebrews, and even here, I have done nothing to deserve being put in a dungeon." And he said to them, "See, when you get out of here, please remember me, all right? Remember me." Well, they got out all right, but did they remember him? Verse 23, the chief cupbearer, however, did not remember Joseph. He forgot him. Do you notice it mentioned the same thing twice there? Have you noticed that? It's as if the biblical writer was trying to emphasize a point. Can you guys believe that? He should have remembered him, but he forgot him. He did not remember him. Can you believe that? He forgot him. He forgot Joseph. See, that's he's trying to emphasize this point. Joseph being forgotten in prison. Every time, right, the phone would ring, Joseph would say to the warden, "I got it, no worry, that's for me. Let me get this one." It would not be for him. Day after day, year after year, month after month, right? Joseph was imprisoned probably from the age of 18, the commentaries tell us, 18 to probably about 30. That's the prime of his life. How many of us are in their 20s here, right? Look around, right? Beautiful people, right? Excited about life, right? I remember when I was in my 20s, I graduated from seminary. I was interning at a church, and I was just getting to know people and learning about myself and just thinking about the options, right, of my life. It was an exciting time of my life. Well, Joseph spent this time of his life forgotten in prison by the world. Perhaps some of you feel stuck as well in life. Stuck with a major that's going nowhere. Stuck in a church that you don't like. I'm sorry about that, but but you know, all of us go through those phases, right? Stuck in a fellowship that you see no potential, right? I mean, we go through times like that in life. Stuck in a, forgive me for saying this, marriage that you just have no more strength to keep going, right? Stuck in a relationship, stuck, you feel so stuck in a broken down body. Sometimes that happens. Stuck, you feel forgotten by the world. Everything's going so well, everything's passing by you, things are happening, things are so exciting for everybody, but for you, you're going nowhere. Forgotten by people, forgotten by the world. See, that's Joseph's life, right? Rejected, slandered, forgotten. Joseph had a difficult life. So I want to ask you this question. Knowing that's what Joseph was going through, was it because Joseph was getting what he deserved? Not at all. On the other hand, it was because he was trying to do good. He was trying to please God, which landed him in prison. See, most people would have given up by this time, right? Most people, like Job's wife, remember Job's wife? Why don't you just curse God and die? Why bother? I mean, you try to be righteous. You try to be pleasing before God. You try to do good with your life. But look at you. Look at you. Like Dr. Phil. Is it working for you? No. So why even bother, right? Curse God and die. Most people would have done that, but not Joseph. He did not let his circumstances dictate the course of his life. See, that's a point I'm trying to make. He did not let his difficulties determine his destiny. And I want us to see that even though life can be so difficult, God says to us, you are more. You are more than the difficult circumstances in your life. You are more than your challenges that you're facing. You are more than your sicknesses. You are more than your dysfunctional family background. You are more than all these things that you have encountered in your life. Don't let the difficult circumstances of your life define the story of your life. Don't give up. Trust God and let Him write the rest of your story. Some of you know this guy. Nick, right? Nick. He was born without limbs, and you can just imagine growing up, the bullying that he received all his life. I mean, most people would have just rolled over and died, but not Nick, right? His story did not end there. He kept believing God, trusting God, and God continued to write his story. And today, he travels around the world giving motivational speeches to those who desperately need hope. This is what he said. Let me quote him. We may have absolutely no control over what happens to us, but we can control how we respond. If we choose the right attitude, we can rise above whatever challenges we face. Next slide. Often people ask me how I manage to be happy despite having no limbs. I tell them, I have a choice. I could be angry about not having limbs, or I could be thankful that I have a purpose. God's using my life as one example of how He can use someone without arms and legs to be His hands and feet. Isn't that good? Isn't that good? What's our excuse? What's our excuse? You heard of the saying, somebody was complaining that he has no shoes until he met someone who had no legs, right? And when I read his story, I was reminded, here's the man who could have complained, right? Who could have cursed God. Why God? But no, he lived his life for God. Which brings us to our next lesson. We have a purpose, a God-given purpose. And today's story tells us there are two men in the prison with Joseph, one of them a cupbearer, one of them a baker. Both of them were in there because they had offended the king. They had committed a crime. And both of them had a dream from God, and they needed interpretation. So I want you to see the three things that Joseph did in that prison. Number one, the first thing he did, verse 6. When Joseph came to them the next morning, he saw that they were dejected. Joseph's eyes were open and to those around him. He noticed a change in their facial expression and realized that they were troubled. They were dejected. Now, may I remind you that these were death row inmates? Now, I don't think on any day their faces would have been joyful, right? So for Joseph to see that something was wrong in them, Joseph had to be very observant, caring, to even notice the difference. He had open eyes. He had a spirit of sensitivity to those around him. So the first thing was Joseph. He saw. he saw. And second thing, he asked them, verse 7. So he asked Pharaoh's officials who were in custody with him in his master's house, why do you look so sad today, right? He asked them. See, these people were the people who knew they had committed a crime, a capital offense. They were so sad, not because of the punishment that they were about to receive, right? But they were so sad. The question is, what would bother them more than dying? They knew they were dying. What would bother them more than dying? And the answer is this: they knew that there is a God, but they did not know what God was trying to say to them. They knew there's a God, but they did not know his heart. See, these men, they woke up in the morning and realized that something big had happened. They had a profound sense that God was speaking to them, but they did not know what God was saying. By the way, there's a lot of people in this world that are in the same situation. They knew there's a God, but they did not know the heart of God. And see, God wants us to notice these people around us and to not ignore them, to open our eyes to them. So Joseph, he saw, he asked, because he cared. And because of that, a door of ministry was opened to him. The third thing that he did was he offered. He offered. Verse 8. We both had dreams, they answered, but there is no one to interpret them. Then Joseph said to them, do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me your dreams. So Joseph had been giving this gift of interpretation of dreams, and he offered to help them. But he made it very clear to them that the words that he was about to say, they were not his own words. But these were the words that comes from God. These are the words of God. You know, every Christian has been entrusted the message of God, the word of God. And so we are in a position to tell other people what God has said. So Joseph gave us a beautiful example here to follow. See, he was caring, he was observant, he reached out, and he shared God's message with the people around him. And let's be reminded that for Joseph, he was in a time of difficulty. He was going through a trial during this time, right? And instead of focusing on himself, instead of dwelling in his pain and his trials, but no, he chose to allow God to work in and through him and carry out God's purpose through him by ministering to those around him. What a contrast from another person in the Bible. Today we're talking about Joseph. I want us to be reminded of the story of Jonah. Jonah. Remember when Jonah was in the ship, right? In that ship, and God sent a big storm to get everyone's attention. The sailors, they knew that there was a God, that God was up to something, but they did not know God's heart, right? What's going on? They say, you know, what is God up to? And they were just running around looking for solutions. Well, someone knew what was going on. Someone knew what's on the heart of God. His name's Jonah. Jonah. And what was Jonah doing at this time while everybody's running around looking for answers? What's Jonah doing? Tell me. Sleeping. Why? Because he was so busy focusing on himself, right? He was pursuing his own desires. He did not want anything to do with what God wanted him to do. Later on in chapter 4, Jonah was so upset about something. He was so upset because there was a plant that withered. And he was hot. He was uncomfortable. What's up with that? Right? And he was not happy. See, the entire city of people, right, the great city of Nineveh, desperately needed the God's salvation, the living word of God. But Jonah was so consumed again by his own discomfort. See, life is hard and we all endure hardship. But see, are we more of a Joseph or Jonah? I believe all of us want to reach out and minister in the name of Jesus. That's our desire. And you know what? The times when we're most effective for God is when we ourselves are going through experiencing difficult times. See, that's when our message shines the brightest. At our church, there many members are going through difficult physical challenges. Many are in the prison of pain and discomfort. There was a brother, Brother Peter. He's an elderly gentleman in our church. He sent an email to encourage those who are going through difficult times. And Brother Peter has been through so much, so much. He struggled with difficulties, even breathing. This guy had a hard time breathing, and he had multiple heart attacks, and he just lived with pain all the time. And at the time when he sent out this email, he was suffering spine pain from his spine. And he was a man that's no stranger to suffering. And he sent this simple prayer to them that he came across from the Daily Bread. He said to them, this prayer says, "When you wake up, say, 'Jesus, I love you.' When leaving the house, say, 'Jesus, come with me.' When you feel like crying, say, 'Jesus, hug me.' When you feel happy, say, 'Jesus, I adore you.' When you do something, say, 'Jesus, help me.' When you make a mistake, say, 'Jesus, forgive me.' When you go to sleep at night, say, 'Thank you, Jesus. Cover me with your holy mantle.'" Now, for most of us who are healthy, right, it's just a poem. Oh, that's a nice poem, but it's no big deal, right? But see, for someone who's hurting, struggling with pain and discomfort, to receive a prayer like this from Brother Peter, who himself is going through so much, it means the world to them. It's priceless. See, God wants to use us to minister to others when we ourselves are going through difficult times. Look at this passage, 2 Corinthians 1:3-4. "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort that we ourselves receive from God." God comforts us in our times of trouble so that we can turn around and comfort others. Even in our times of suffering, God has a purpose for us, and we can minister to others in the name of Jesus. So I want to quickly sum up these two dreams, right? Basically, Joseph interprets their dreams, and he told the cupbearer, verse 12, "Within these 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head and restore you to your position, and you will put Pharaoh's cup in his hand, just as you used to do when you were his cupbearer," right? So, but for verse 19, he said to the baker, "Within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift off your head." impale your body on a pole, and the birds will eat away your flesh. Now, and sure enough, right, verses 20 to 22. Now, the third day was Pharaoh's birthday, and he gave a feast for all his officials. He lifted up the heads of the chief cupbearer and the chief baker in the presence of his officials. He restored the chief cupbearer to his position so that he once again put the cup into Pharaoh's hand. But he impaled the chief baker, just as Joseph has said to them in his interpretation. Now, I want you to focus on how Joseph ministered to the baker here, the one who died, the one who had a bad dream, right? Verse 8, 18 to 19. This is what it means, Joseph said. The three baskets are 3 days. Within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift off your head and impale your body on a pole, and the birds will eat away your flesh. Again, Joseph said to them, this is what it means. This is what your dream means. Listen carefully. The three baskets are 3 days. Three baskets, 3 days. He's thinking, the baker's thinking, okay, so far so good. Mm-hmm. Joseph keeps talking. Within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift off your head. He's thinking, not so good. Not so good, right? Joseph keeps talking. He will impale your body on a pole. What is he thinking by this time? Not good at all. Joseph kept talking. And the birds will eat your flesh. Really bad. Really bad. Now, I put that picture there because I want you to be reminded that the Egyptians, they treated death really seriously, right? They go through all kinds of rituals. They mummified their bodies. Why? Because they thought it would prepare them for their next life. But to announce someone's decapitation and then impalement on a stick and then eaten by birds, I mean, that's just rude, right? Don't you think? I mean, that's just offensive and condemning. Why would Joseph, a man of God, do something like that? Why bother telling him and I liked the song that we sang this morning, the truth? Why bother? I mean, wouldn't it be more compassionate to keep the truth from this guy who's dying in 3 days? In 3 days, he would die, right? Why risking offending him and make him suffer? See, the news of death is not the worst possible thing, you see. The news of death is not the most possible thing, for eternal condemnation is the worst possible thing. And what Joseph did was not a lack of compassion, but it was a display of mercy. See, the baker was given 3 days to prepare himself to meet his maker. 3 days. The baker had 3 days to get himself ready to meet the living God who lives forever. The baker had 3 days to come to Joseph and to ask Joseph, Joseph, can you help me? Joseph, tell me what I should do. Joseph, how can I make peace with the living God? See, the baker was no more in 3 days, but one has to wonder if the baker ended up in heaven because of what Joseph said to him. The truth that Joseph said to him. Because Joseph was faithful to God and God's purpose in his life. And may we all be faithful to God, to our mission, and to keep delivering this message that God has entrusted to us, to those people around us who desperately need to hear them. Amen? We need to be faithful. That's why we exist. That's our purpose. Lastly, number three, I believe God's message for us through this story is that we are not abandoned. When we study Joseph's story, we can't help but be pointed to another person. See, today we see Joseph, who was innocent, but due to false accusation, he suffered injustice. But it was there God used him to carry out God's purpose there. And it was there that we see Joseph among the two criminals who were guilty, that who had committed a crime. So a question is this: where in another person now, Jesus' life, do we see him at a place of suffering due to false accusation, suffering injustice next to two other people around him? Was there a moment in Jesus' life where Jesus was accomplishing God's will, God's purpose for him, where he was in between two criminals, right? It was on the cross. It was on the cross. And on that day, one of them hardened his heart and cursed Jesus. The other softened his heart and he cried out to Jesus, right? You know the story. And what did the second one, the second criminal, what did he say to Jesus? Something about remembering. Something about remembering. He said to Jesus, "Jesus, remember me in your kingdom." And did Jesus remember? Yes, he did. Jesus said, "You will be with me in paradise." See, in the Bible, the word remember is a big word. Often it was used as God remembering his people. And when that word remember is used in the Bible, it's a way of God being faithful to his promises. And God would remember his people. And for those of us, right, who, by the way, we know that song, right? Remember your people. Remember your children. Remember what? Your promises. That's what we're talking about. And then it says, your grace is enough. Your grace is enough. And I am covered in your love. Your grace is enough for me. And those of us who believe in, belong to God, see, life is so difficult. Life can be so challenging at times, and we would be forgotten by this world, but God would never forget us. God always remembers we are never abandoned, and that gives us hope in times of trial. So let me sum it up. Nothing happens by accident, but we are where we're at because God wants us there. And knowing that God, knowing God in the midst of these difficulties, the message that God has for us is that we are more, right? We are more than what we're going through. We are more than our sicknesses. We are more than our challenges. We are more. And we have given a purpose, a God-given purpose. God wants to use us, even in difficult times. And we're not abandoned. God has us covered. He's got us. And so the question, this is the question that I want to leave for us to wrestle with is this. So knowing that, how would our story end? How would our story end? Life is so difficult. Life is so challenging. How would our story end? Would it end with, I gave in? See, because life is so hard. I gave in. I settled. I became very bitter and I became very angry. Hey, what do you expect from me? Life was so difficult, I gave in. Or would it end with this second one? Even though my circumstances were so difficult, even though life was so hard, I trusted God. I trusted God. Why? Because I knew that God was faithful. That he was faithful to his people. He was faithful to his children. He was faithful to his promises. And I relied on God's power to rise above the circumstances that I was facing. And I let him accomplish his purposes in and through my life. See, I hope that would be the theme of our story. I hope that that would be the theme of our lives, no matter what difficulties we're facing. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you know us. You know the challenges, the difficulties that we're encountering. You know our heartache. You know our pain. But Lord, thank you. Thank you for your encouraging word today, Lord, that you will never forget us, that we're not abandoned. But Lord, you have a purpose for us, and you want to use us for your glory. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for giving us that hope. Help us to walk away from this place knowing, Lord, that you love us, knowing, Lord, that you are faithful, knowing, Lord, that your grace would be sufficient for all of us, and we are to live our lives to glorify you. Thank you, Lord. Even though the message is over, we pray that you, your Spirit, would continue to speak to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. All right, guys, let's stand up and sing this song in response together.
Walk with the Lord in the light of his word. What a glory we share on our way. While we do his good will, he abides with us still and with all who will trust and obey. And trust and obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Not a burden we bear, not a sorrow we share, but our toil he doth richly repay. Not a grief or a loss, not a frown or a cross, but it's blessed if we trust and obey. Oh, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Then in fellowship sweet, we will sit at his feet, or we'll walk by his side in the way. What he says we will do, where he sends we will go. Never fear, only trust and obey. Oh, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.
Let's pray. Father God, we indeed thank you. And that you do not leave us to just figure things out. You don't just throw difficulty in our life just to mess with us, God. You are not capricious. But God, we trust in your sovereignty, and we know that all things in life what are permitted by you, God, but you give us your spirit, you give us your presence. And God, we know some of us have been in a period of difficulty, of struggle for a while. And I pray that this message, that this truth would have been an encouragement. And God, we pray ever more so for your grace. God, for without it, God, we are hopeless. So please, we ask that you just shower more on our lives, and may we always wake up saying, Jesus, we love you. And even in difficulty, may we still say those words. Lord, we trust you. Thank you also for your faithfulness. We love you. We love you. Thank you for loving us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's be seated.
Good morning, everybody. As some of you guys may know, we are sending a short-term missions trip to Poland upcoming in May. And this morning we've got Sandy to tell us a little bit more about the trip itself. And
hello, everybody. So we went to Poland 2 years ago. And so Poland, it's in East Europe, and there's some Chinese there, but not a lot of immigrants, so because they're not an immigration country. There's one Chinese church there, and they don't even have a pastor because it's hard to hire somebody. So 2 years ago, we went over to support their like a spring conference to be the speaking people in the conference. But this year, we are going there again. But instead, we will Pastor Yang and Nancy will be supporting there, have a weekend of like a conference. But the rest of us, we have 8 total. We are going to visiting the campus. There's some international students from China, so visit the campus and do some personal evangelism, and hopefully we will have a gospel tea party. And also we will visit. There's a district with all the Chinese business people. They doing like trading in the area. So a lot of Chinese business people, we were going to visit them and do personal evangelism and also have a tea party. So we need your prayer because so far the preparation is not very well over there, and we don't really know what to expect when we get there. But we are prepared, and also if you would like to support us financially, please do so, and just write a check to Poland Short Term Mission. And we will be leaving on May 9 and returning May 18. So 8 of us, other than Pastor Yang and Nancy, we have me, Jack, Tim, and Naomi, and Joe. So please keep us in your prayer. Thank you.
Thanks, Andy. So just remember there's 8 of our members going there, so keep them in your prayer, and if God so moves you, also help them out with a little bit of financial support. So after service this morning, there's a couple of different Sunday schools going on for the youth. They will be over at the fellowship hall at 11:30 as usual. The adults will be meeting in the classroom behind us, and also we've got the discipleship class that is at the church office. And just remember to also catch up with everybody at the fellowship hall with a little bit of coffee and snacks this morning.
We're running a little late, but let's just take a couple moments to just reflect, and I'll close this out. When you wake up, say, Jesus, I love you. When leaving the house, say, Jesus, come with me. When you feel like crying, say, Jesus, hug me. When you feel happy, say, Jesus, I adore you. When you do something, say, Jesus, help me. When you make a mistake, say, Jesus, forgive me. When you go to sleep, say, thank you, Jesus, and cover me with your holy mantle. And all of God's people said, amen. You're dismissed.